A lawsuit brings public access and private property issues to a head, and Southeast natives travel to the Southwest Indian market. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. A dispute about access to a beach near Mud Bay in Haines has led to a lawsuit, although lawyers for both sides say they hope a settlement can be reached. A citizens group called Friends of Viking Cove, headed by Haines resident Fred Einsbruck, has filed suit against residents Sally Anderson and Mike Wald. The suit is asking the court to establish public access to the beach at Viking Cove, which is accessible through a small portion of Anderson and Wald's property. Einsbruck and Anderson and Wald let their attorneys speak on their behalf about the suit, and both lawyers outlined their perspectives on the case. Einsbruck's attorney, Joe Geldhoff, said the lawsuit is not about personal animosity, but about two conflicting views of public access.
Nobody really likes to have a lawsuit, but sometimes there's a dispute where people harbor honest differences, and you have to have the judiciary sort it out. And that's kind of where we're at.
Anderson and Wald purchased the property on Viking Cove about 3 years ago and have since built a house on the site. A narrow public gravel road cuts through the property, leading past the cove and to other properties toward Rutzeback Lake. Their property continues on the other side of the road to the beach. According to the Alaska Department of Natural Resources, private property and public beach property usually meet at the mean high tide line of the beach. The couple put a sign on their property in front of the cove, welcoming people to use the beach, but asking they do not park on their property. But Einsbruck is claiming in the lawsuit that the couple is restricting public access to the beach. The suit states that there has been continuous, open, and obvious public use of the beach and the property used to access it for decades. That historical use includes storing small watercraft above the high tide line, parking vehicles, picnicking, gathering seaweed, and other recreational activities, it says. The suit also states the beach is used for subsistence purposes because the way to the beach at Viking Cove is the most convenient and accessible route to the east side of the southern Chilkat Peninsula. Anderson and Wald's attorney is Charles Cole. He's a former attorney general for the state and now works in private practice in Fairbanks.
In the course of this pending lawsuit, we will be able to determine exactly what the plaintiff's claims are, and as yet that does not seem to be clear. Once we determine precisely what their claims are, then we can look forward to talking about their resolution.
Attorney Geldhoff said Einsbruck is asking the court to recognize the long-standing pattern of public access to the beach.
Well, what the plaintiffs in this case seek is just that amount of historic and obvious access that's taken place over 20 or 30 years, no more and no less. This is not a big naked attempt to encroach heavily on the Anderson-Wald property. It's just to preserve the ongoing historic use that's taken place in the community of Haines on this property for years.
The lawsuit states Einsbruck is asking the court for a declaratory judgment and order to establish the precise rights of the public to use the portion of the property adjacent to the beach and to outline the extent of public activities allowed on the property. It also asks for a permanent injunction requiring the landowners and all future landowners to not interfere with the public rights established there. Geldhoff said his client attempted to resolve the issue with Wald and Anderson before filing suit, but they were unsuccessful. Likely, he said, because Wald and Anderson often traveled to Fairbanks in the summer to run their business, and they may not have received Einsbruck's correspondence or had time to respond to it. Geldhoff said his only focus is on the public access question at Viking Cove, although he said he understands there are other properties in the Haines area that might have similar access issues.
I have no doubt that in other areas of Haines, you know, there's potential or there may be actual access issues. How those shake out in the future is going to be up to the citizens of Haines and perhaps the judiciary. But I don't see Viking Cove setting a new standard or creating a precedent that will be applied all over Haines or southeast Alaska or even the entire state of Alaska.
Both attorneys said they have had conversations about the suit, and both used the term guardedly optimistic that a settlement may be able to be reached before the case is decided by a judge. We have a clarification from one of our stories in our last newscast. We told you about how on Tuesday, the Haynesboro Assembly discussed a new schedule for water and sewer rates. The borough is suggesting revising the rates to meet rising operating costs and inflation. We told you about some of the proposed changes to the current schedule, but those were changes to the changes that were already discussed. So let's make it more clear. The Assembly is considering several rate changes for water and sewer service. One of them includes a change for the unmetered residential water sewer service, the service used by the majority of residents in the borough. That rate would increase by $2.60 a month for a total of $78.40. Another change would be to implement a seasonal turn-on and turn-off for water service. That fee would be $45. Other changes include an increase to the minimum hookup fee and other service charges, and a decrease in monthly surcharges for the Crystal Cathedral Special Assessment District. But all these changes are still in discussion. They have a first public hearing at the August 28th regular assembly meeting. All the proposed water and sewer rate changes can be viewed on the borough website. Go to the borough assembly page on the site, and on the right-hand side of the page, click on the ordinances being considered. We'll also have a link to the page on our KHNS News webpage. A Southeast Alaska dance group performs this weekend at a major Southwest Lower 48 Native Arts event. The Tsimshian Gitxot dancers are part of Alaska's contribution to the Santa Fe Indian Market. The annual event attracts more than 1,000 Native artists and 100,000 visitors to the New Mexico City. The market has taken place in some form every year since 1922. Sea Alaska Heritage Institute President Rosita Worrell says a number of regional artists, including staff, are also sharing Southeast Native culture.
We have a number of students who are attending school down here, so we ask them to join us, and they'll be doing cultural performances, telling stories, and a traditional regalia fashion review using our students and also some of our staff and the products that our staff people have made.
Worrell, speaking by cell phone from Santa Fe, says the art and performances are part of an effort to reintegrate culture into a largely commercial event. She says the Alaskans are improving their understanding of Southwest Indian culture. They're also learning how to better market art to those new to Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian culture.
This year we ended up developing a lot of kind of like basic introductory cards to what does a killer whale look like? What does the eye look like? You know, what's a wing? What's a wing design? Because Northwest Coast art is very distinctive, and it's built all around these form lines.
Worrell says that fits in with a Heritage Institute goal of developing small village industries. Products produced so far include woven baskets and sewn moccasins. The Institute is also working on traditional items made from sea otter pelts. This is the second year Indian Market organizers have invited the Sea Alaska Institute to participate. Representatives of Alaska's congressional delegation gave presentations Wednesday in Ketchikan about some of the issues important to Southeast residents coming up in Congress. KRBD's Layla Carey has this report.
Alex Ortiz works for Representative Don Young in Washington, D.C., and Bob Weinstein is Senator Mark Begich's representative in southern Southeast Alaska. Ortiz says the next few months will be interesting in Washington, D.C., in part because of the upcoming election. The Farm Bill is one that's coming up soon, and he hopes they'll be able to include provisions for Alaska.
We've got to extend the Farm Bill programs by September 30th, which means there's a lot of USDA rural programs that I'm focusing on right now, particularly the Village Safe Water Program and a couple others that we'll be working on when I get back in session here.
Another upcoming issue is sequestration, which is a series of across-the-board funding cuts that may or may not happen.
Two or three years ago, Congress passed a budget measure that had provisions in it to try and motivate Congress to pass some cuts. Basically, it has an impending provision that will hit next year, the beginning of next year in January. It's difficult to say exactly the impact of it right now, but we're talking about 8% budget cuts across the board for all domestic programs, with some exceptions, and everybody's really worried about that right now. So Congress needs to pass a fix to get those cuts from automatically going into place next year, or we're going to have some problems.
On another issue of local interest, Weinstein says the stalled Sea Alaska lands bill now is making headway.
On the issue of Sea Alaska legislation, it's our understanding that a deal is very close to being had and that we may see some progress on that legislation in the relative near future.
A bill to transfer land to Sea Alaska Corporation was approved by the House in June, but that version was not expected to make it through the Senate. Both bodies have been working to finalize the land transfer called for in the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. However, there has been controversy over land selected by Sea Alaska, which runs logging operations in addition to other interests. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for his help with this report. Thanks for listening. We appreciate your support.